Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Friday, everybody. Today we are going to take a look, a little preview of Venus starting to walk into the conjunction with Jupiter and Neptune. So this is kind of a long process. Jupiter and Neptune have already separated. Venus is in Pisces already and is going to be moving through a conjunction with Neptune and then a conjunction with Jupiter while they're still both pretty close together in the late degrees of Pisces. And if you give it a 3-degree range, this gives us April 24th to about May 2nd. So it'll conjoin Neptune, Venus will, on April 27th, and then it'll conjoin Jupiter on April 30th. And during this period of time, you have arguably one of the most benefic combinations of the entire year. You have an exalted Venus with a Jupiter in its own domicile, both going through the kind of beautiful, graceful, otherworldly waters of Neptune. So we're going to talk about this more next week. I wanted to just give you a preview of it since you're going to start really feeling it over the weekend. next week is where it's all kind of constellating, but you'll get a feel for it over the weekend. All right. So before we dive in, if you're new to the channel or if you've been watching for a while, please like and subscribe. Appreciate that. Share your comments. Helps the algorithm, helps people find my channel, helps it grow. If you're subscribed, click on the notification bell for updates when I go live. If you ever want to read transcripts of my talks, they are available on my website, nightlightastrology.com, in the blog section, typically within 24 hours of whenever the video is posted. I also want to remind everybody, my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts on June 5th. I'm really excited about this program. I lost my voice last night at the Minnesota Timberwolves basketball game. I went with my wife. We had a lot of fun. They blew a 20-point lead twice in the game and then got beat. So Minnesota sports karma never fails. But anyway, I lost my voice cheering at the game. And so anyway, if you go to the courses page, I'm just saying that because I'm sure I sound really weird. You go to the courses page, click on the first year course, and you can learn more about the upcoming program. Really excited about it. We have more and more people signing up every day now. So there's some things that you're going to want to sign up for soon before it's too late. Let me go ahead and I'll tell you about that. This program is a one-year program in ancient Hellenistic astrology. You can learn all about what the course covers. It is a great course for people who want to dive deeper into astrology, either for yourself or maybe because you'd like to read for other people, or you just love astrology and want to learn more about it. There's 30 classes on the year, 12 guest lectures. There is a group forum all year round that's staffed with tutors. You can talk to me with questions throughout the year. There are breakout study sessions in between major units, tons of bonus material, as much reading or quizzes as you want. It's kind of each person could go really as deeply as you wanted to or as superficially, depending on what your intention is for taking the course. There's an optional certification test at the exam at the end. All of the classes are held via live webinars, but if you can't make them live, they're held on Sundays. At 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time. They last 2 to 3 hours. And if you can't make them live, the recordings are kept for you on a class website. You get to keep all of the material. So even if for some reason during partway through the course you weren't able to continue, you have a year after the end of the course within which to still take the exam if you wanted to, and you get to keep all the material. So this is the payment options at the bottom of the screen, and you'll notice that the early bird payment saves you $500 off if you pay in full. There's a 12-month payment plan if you need it, and then tuition assistance is the thing to be aware of, just because we have a limited number of those, so you want to make sure you take advantage of that. If for any reason you want to take the program, but you know you need some help, it's beyond your price point, it's out of your budget for whatever reason. You know, especially interested in helping people who, you know, maybe you're a single parent or you're on a fixed income because of disability or whatever the case might be. We just don't want people to be priced out. So make sure that if you want to study astrology and you're like, you know what, the normal price is just outside my budget. That's not going to change. It's not like, we don't want people using it just for a discount, right? We want it because it's like, really, I can't afford to take your course, but I really want to. If that's you, then check out the tuition assistance program. We'd be glad to try to help people out and make sure that no one's priced out of studying a spiritual science. So that being said, if you are in one of my year one programs, year two and horary classes start June 11th and 12th, you can get all of this on my website, nightlightastrology.com. Okay, so now let's put up the real-time clock and take a look at this transit that we're looking at. So here you can see on the screen, this is April 30th, and you're going to notice in the seventh house that Venus is conjoined with Jupiter. And I'm just trying to find, where's my pen? Usually I have like a little pen. It's somewhere in here. Here it is. Ah, perfect. All right, so here you can see Venus conjoined with Jupiter. And if we go back a little bit, take this back. Oops, sorry. I'm all out of sorts with my pen today. So here it is coming in around Sunday. You're going to see Venus get into the 3-degree range with Neptune. And that's really in Hellenistic terms, when you get planets within 3 degrees, they're called engagements. And that's when you really start to see the combination pop. Then you're going to see Venus moving through that conjunction with Neptune. And that's going to happen right around April 27th. And then after that, go forward a few more days, you get to April 30th, and it'll conjoin Jupiter. So that little stretch of time is, like I said, arguably the most benefic transit of the entire year. We should take a look at this today and get a feeling for what this is all about. Well, I want to talk about three things that Venus will bring to the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, which is still very much in the air, is just separating. And now Venus, in her own exaltation, is going to go through and bring sort of more blessings into the mix. You could say very broadly, it's just a very fertile, auspicious, fortunate period that good things can easily come through, especially with Venus. Venus was the goddess of good fortune in ancient astrology, which basically meant things sort of like the dice roll is just a little lucky. There's a feeling of things coming together, of harmony, and of whether it's people or circumstances, just sort of turning out in the best way possible, especially when things might feel like they're a little difficult. Venus-Jupiter conjunctions tend to show up and grant some boon or blessing or sense of, hey, it's all going to be okay. So it's a really nice combination and just overall has this feeling of being fertile, growth-oriented, supportive, benefic, helpful, lucky, etc. Now, everybody's at a different season of karma. I see sometimes people in the comment section be like, well, why am I not getting any of this good luck? And it's like, well, you might be in a Saturn year during the midst of a difficult Pluto transit or something like that. It's like not, it's not a foregone conclusion that everyone's just gonna, it's like rain in money. It's like you're not necessarily gonna benefit from a transit that's not connected very intensely to anything in your birth chart. Or that your birth chart is very much focused on something else at the moment because of its unique configuration. That being said, typically people will still notice it. You'll still feel it. It may not be as big as Johnny down the street who gets a Porsche, or something like that, but it's like you should be able to notice it. But it'll vary, it's relative. So just saying that in the outset so that people, understand that everything in anytime you're listening to a channel where they're talking about mundane astrology, which means the astrology and how it affects everyone at once, there's going to be great variation in how you receive and experience a transit based on the particulars of your birth chart. But that being said, again, just to reiterate, you still should be able to feel and notice transits in general. Like no matter what transit is, sometimes the volume's at a 10, sometimes that's at a 2 for me personally, for example. But I've trained myself to be able to notice the effects of the planets, the energies that they represent, and so forth. Well, let's say that Jupiter and Neptune, broadly speaking, bring a feeling of redemption, hope, and faith. Broadly speaking, they support a sense of vision or the potential for something to develop on the horizon. We talked about that at length when we've already t al in already talking about Jupiter and Neptune. So if that is the case, then what does Venus bring into the mix? And I want to talk about three things. excuse me. The first is The Art of Seeing. I'm going to read you something. I've been really loving this book called Religious But Not Religious, Living a Symbolic Life by Jason Smith. He is a Jungian, and this book is fantastic. This book is kind of a challenge to that phrase, spiritual but not religious. It's definitely not like, trying to dismiss that phrase, but it's also saying, look, the idea behind spiritual, not religious, where does that come from? What's the aversion to religion? And is it possible to be someone who, you know, has aspects of religion or a religion you were raised with that still have a really important home in your psyche without getting so identified with it that you might lose yourself or end up eventually feeling that sense of disillusionment that people often feel with religion. So it's a really beautiful book. And if you've ever been part of a religion and then walked away from one, you'd really, really love this book. Also, if people are like, you know, I resonate with yoga, I resonate with elements of Buddhism. So there's aspects of religious life, different religious traditions that I resonate with, but I tend to call myself spiritual, not religious. You should check this book out. I think you'd really like it. Anyway, The Art of Seeing. I want to read you a section from this book. This book, in this chapter, he's talking at length about the failure of religion or like disillusionment with religion and, you know, the perception that religion is sort of like a bad thing. So he says this, for Jung, this question was answered in terms of a religion's ability to provide an adequate means for an individual to gain access to the deeper experience for which it is the mediator. Whatever decline religion experienced, Jung believed, was because of its failure to do this very thing. He noted that the institutions of religion in the modern era had become increasingly unable to provide for their adherents an experience of the numinous. They had ceased, in other words, to provide a genuine initiation into religious experience and instead merely moralized about it. Quote, theologians fail to see that it is not a matter of proving the existence of the light, but of blind people who do not know that their eyes could see. It is high time we realize that it is pointless to praise the light and preach it if nobody can see it. It is much more needful to teach people the art of seeing. It is this failure to teach people the art of seeing, I would suggest, that is primarily reflected in these studies reporting on the decline of religious affiliation. I love that so much because if there's anything that, you know, moves me as an astrologer, like what captured me about astrology originally was the fact that here's embodied religious experience. Like every day that you study transits and then you go out and you see them and you experience them, that higher divine being or presence or intelligence, that source, that whatever that divine thing is, call it the Tao, there is evidence of it. It's showing up in your life. You experience it and you feel it and you know what Saturn feels like. You know what Pluto feels like. You know what Neptune feels like. It's amazing. And to me, one of the reasons that so many people are interested in astrology, but they might be averse to religious affiliation, which I totally get, and in many ways I am too, is because exactly what Jung was saying, that there's a preaching about the light, but there's not an emphasis on religious experience itself, on the actual seeing of the light. If we just preach about the existence of something and moralize about it, we're stripping back the number one thing that gives any of those sentiments or any of that moral, that moralizing any power to begin with. And that's experience, religious experience. What does religious experience mean? Religious experience means the experience of the ineffable, you know, that connection that we have. It's embodied, you feel it. So the art of seeing is what Venus brings to the mix, because Jupiter and Neptune, even though they are so otherworldly, or even though they are so uplifting, are very otherworldly. And there's this experience of knowing something to be true, believing something to be true, placing your faith in something. Venus is such as the goddess, Venus reminds us that for any of this to really compel change, it needs to be embodied. There has to be a feeling that goes with it. So one of the great things about Venus in Pisces is that she really brings the importance of embodied, imaginative experience, whether it's religious experience, a romantic experience, any area in your life where you feel like you've been inspired lately. Maybe one promise of this Venus transit is that it comes through and says, now let's really feel it. Let's make sure that we're actually seeing and experiencing the changes that we're hoping for, or the places in where we're putting our faith. Let's make sure that there is an embodied sense of confirmation. So I like Venus coming into the mix because it makes it so much more tangible in a sense. And that's what really moves us, is when we have experiences. If you see a great piece of art, if you go to a great movie, if you have a great conversation with a friend, if you have a deep encounter with a lover, those are the experiences that confirm your beliefs and somehow make the mission worthwhile. They actualize it. You can't just believe your way to something. You have to have experiences that connect you. Religion, the word means to reconnect. Number two, what else does Venus bring to Jupiter? Jupiter and Neptune. Venus brings collective experience. So let's say, for example, that, you know, you're of the spiritual, not religious mindset. And I reading this book, I'd say I definitely like fit into that, like that category. Okay, so let's say that you are in this, you identify as spiritual but not religious. Probably that means that you're someone whose religious path has been very personally and privately defined. It's been gathered together through a lot of diverse experiences, and it's your own, right? And that's the beauty. That's, I think that's the beauty of that phrase. That's, I think a lot of people, when they say I'm spiritual, not religious, what do they mean by that? I remember we're talking about this kind of stuff because Jupiter and Neptune have a lot to do with our faith and our beliefs and how they're shaping our lives right now and how they're changing or what's opening up because of them. So spiritual, not religious has this emphasis on individuality. I'm doing my own thing. I've found my own path. It's between me and God. It's between me and the universe, you know, that kind of thing. The problem is that we don't exist in a vacuum. One thing that religious life gives us in terms of religious traditions from all over the planet, and I'm not talking up, it doesn't necessarily have to be one of the big ones, you know, where, for example, how much easier is it to practice yoga? You have your own practice in your home, and you read certain books, and you have your own way of being spiritual, and it's yours, and it's so important to have that. But how nice is it to go to a studio and practice with other people, breathe with other people? So Venus tends to be more collective in nature and relational in nature. Venus in Pisces brings to Jupiter and Neptune the feeling that you can't do this alone. In order for your faith to be made real, in order for it to become embodied, you also need relationships. You need other people. You need, you know, a community. That doesn't necessarily mean joining a formal religion, but it means that there needs to be a social dimension to the development or cultivation of your spirituality. You can't just do it in a vacuum. And what's one of the things I've been loving about this book I'm telling you guys about, Religious But Not Religious, is that there's so much of the book that's saying, like, in being spiritual, not religious, let's make sure that we don't live in little, like, there's a lot of our lives that live in avatar boxes, you know? It's all customized, it's all highly personal, but in some ways we're alienating ourselves by not having a collective dimension of how we evolve and how we grow. It's one of the reasons that I've been, you know, throughout the past couple of years, COVID and all the restrictions and so forth, I've been really, like, missing my faith community. Last week, I was able to get together and do kirtan with my, you know, bhakti faith community here in the Twin Cities for the first time in 2 years. And so as soon as I did, it felt like I was drinking from a fire hydrant. You know what I mean? It was just, oh my God, it's just so nice to have. There should be a personal private dimension and sort of a collective social dimension to the way in which we evolve and grow spiritually. That's the simple point. And Venus really tends to highlight that, the need for harmonious connections with other people as a way of growing our vision for life. So collective experience. And finally, Venus brings the confirmation of the senses. There's a weird, again, this kind of goes back to the art of seeing, but there's a way in which we have been taught, especially in religious traditions around the planet or philosophical traditions, that our senses are unworthy, that they are, you should not trust them, that the that there's, you know, higher knowledge and truth is something you find when you, at the very least, are naturally very skeptical of what your senses tell you to be true, like your physical senses. In bhakti, we make a really big deal of countering this by saying your senses should confirm the reality of your faith. For example, in bhakti yoga, putting flowers on the altar, incense, candles, colors, dance, singing. Many of the great saints in the bhakti tradition write poetry, like Rumi. If you've ever read Rumi's poetry before, it's so embodied, it's so sensual. And so if we're not bringing along the sensual dimension of who we are into how our faith and our spiritual life is evolving, we're leaving something out. It's very similar to saying that we need embodied experience of that which we believe. But this goes a step further. We're not talking about mystical out-of-body experiences or religious experiences that are ecstatic. We're also talking about bringing the everyday world into what we do. For example, one of the things that is such a simple thing my wife does with the girls is they'll be out walking, taking the dogs for a walk or something, and they'll pick flowers to bring back to our altar. It's just a simple way of showing our girls and ourselves, we need it too, that the world is divine, the world is beautiful, and your senses should be able to participate in truth. Truth and beauty for ancient philosophers were part of each other. You couldn't separate them. But a lot of what we do nowadays is about, you know, like the mantras that we tend to tell ourselves are not beautiful to speak. The mantras that we try to use to effect change in our life are not, they're not beautiful. They're just powerful. But they need to be beautiful too. Like for example, I think one of my favorite, we used to do this in our yoga teacher training programs at our studio. We would make vision boards. Now, you guys have probably heard me rip on them before because I'm not a big fan of making them myself. But every time I end up making them, and my wife kind of like wrangles me into making one with her, I always feel like in terms of what we're trying to grow in our lives, or maybe what our intentions are for a season of our life, to represent those intentions through things that delight our aesthetic sense, you know, that's really important. So what does Venus bring to the mix? It says, bring beauty into whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to open or create. Don't let it just be mental. Try to adorn it. Did you know that in the ancient world that Venus was associated with the cleanliness of temples and the adornments that were a part of temples, whether it was the robes, the incense, the flowers on the altar, the cleanliness sweeping, you know, like a, have you ever seen the Buddhist monks like sweeping the zendos or whatever? This sense of like clean, beautiful places or clean and beautiful adornments. We should bring that kind of tending to the imaginative and aesthetic dimension of our lives. Can't just believe in things in some empty vacuum. The senses have to come along. So those are three things that I've been thinking about lately as this transit is perfecting. Again, it's April 24th to about May 2nd that you're going to see this really coming through. And next week, we're going to spend more time talking about it. I think we'll probably take it in the through the horoscopes, you know, looking at all the 12 signs and so forth. Might do a live cast. This is another big transit on the year. It's uplifting, but I also felt like, you know, let's look immediately at what Venus might bring that's unique into the general sort of Jupiter-Neptune vibe that we've been looking into the past couple of weeks. So anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back together on Monday. If you haven't already, please like and subscribe to the channel. Really appreciate that. Helps the channel to grow. and click the notification bell for updates once you do. Transcripts are available within 24 hours, usually on my website. You can check out the blog page, nightlightastrology.com. Don't forget, my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins on June 5th. Check out the need-based tuition option if you think it might help you. Hope to see some of you in class soon. All right, that's what I've got. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.